Now, time for your letters. Here's NPR's Farah Jadeya.
Joining me now is News and Notes producer Christopher Johnson. Hey, Christopher.
Hey, Farah.
So, you know, my mom said, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. But here at News and Notes, we take all comers.
That's right. And last week, we heard from comedian Paul Mooney and rapper KRS-One on the news that some black performers will stop using the N-word. They were reacting to actor Michael Richards' now infamous videotape tirade.
Lots of you wrote and called. Darius Mark of Las Vegas, Nevada, was one of many supporting the ban.
People like KRS-One and the rest of these unconscious, uneducated rappers, they revive this silliness of using that word. You can't have people respect you if you don't respect yourself. And I think it contributes highly to what's going on with our youth today.
Ted Ransaw, also of Las Vegas, grew up on rap music. Now he teaches at the Community College of Southern Nevada. He still sports the latest hip-hop fashion when he goes to class, and he phoned to say it challenges his authority when his students of all races, use the N-word as they often do.
When I walk into the classroom and I have students using the N-word either outside the classroom or inside the classroom, I sit down and I ask them, why do they use the N-word and what does it mean to them? And whatever their answer is, I take that word and I explain to them where it came from, how it's been used, how it's been recreated. And I use the N-word as a gateway to explain African-American culture.
But 35-year-old Kevin Thornton of Durham, North Carolina, adds this perspective. Remember, black folks in my great-grandmother's time called each other the N-word, too. We need to quit dropping all the blame on our youth for using the word the way they've been taught by those generations who came before.
Now a word from those who wrote against the ban. Spencer Rackley III from Charlotte, North Carolina, was short and sweet. Ban the N-word? Next thing you know, you'll want to ban books.
On another note, Abraham Phillip of Syracuse, New York, emailed us after hearing Carol Simpson's commentary on Monday about adoption. Phillip wrote, "Carol Simpson kept referring to birth children as biological. Please remember that all children are biological."
Finally, a correction regarding Aaron Aubrey Kaplan's commentary from last week.
My great uncle Lester, he was actually at D-Day in Normandy. Though he didn't fight, of course, he drove a supply truck. The person I just met looks at me blankly, not understanding. Black people didn't fight in World War II, I go on. The troops were segregated.
J.R. Bailey of Keller, Texas, was among those who wrote us. He said, during today's show, Ms. Kaplan stated that blacks didn't fight in the Second World War. Well, I can say with irrefutable certainty that my father is black, he served during World War II, and by all accounts experienced a great deal of combat. I would suppose a lot of veterans are pretty upset in regards to this new history revision.
So we asked Erin to clarify her commentary. She explained that what she wanted to say was that no one in her family saw combat. She said that in World War II, the majority of segregated black troops did not fight. Thanks for clearing that up, Erin, and thanks to all of you who cared enough to write. Got some thoughts you want to express? Drop us a line.
That's right. You can call us at 202-408-3330. Again, that's 202-408-3330. Or you can email us. Just log on to npr.org and click on Contact Us. And please be sure to tell us where you're writing from and how to pronounce your name. Thanks, Christopher.
Thank you, Farai.
That was NPR's Farai Jadeya and producer Christopher Johnson with your letters and comments about our show.